Moose 93.1.
The Blake Show with Kelly and Todd.
Forecast from Todd at News Center Maine is looking okay today. It's a little cool. Some spots got a little frost, which is a bummer for those plants. Of course, I just
look
planted
at you.
Over
You're
the
just
weekend.
A planter, green thumb, old guy now.
Pretty much.
My plants are going to get ruined.
Pretty much. But we're going to go up to the 60s today, and same tomorrow. Chance of a shower this afternoon, otherwise partly sunny. And then it sounds like we warm up back closer to 80 towards the end of the week. Obviously, over the weekend, there were protests all around the country, all related to the police killing of George Floyd. And I texted my friend Theo yesterday. Theo is a professor at Bowdoin and is a person of color. What, Theo, when someone refers to your race, what do you prefer?
I usually go either say African American or I say black when I feel particularly political or militant. I think there's something really righteous about black and blackness and black and beautiful, but either one is fine.
Okay.
And POC is also perfectly acceptable, too.
Okay. Here was the way that I felt over the weekend was like, I'm white. I have that privilege. Watching all this play out, it was one of those where I didn't even feel that almost like it's not my thing to talk about, you know? Like, is that, like, what?
Like, it's not our place.
Yeah, like, as white people, this is not our thing, but we need to be a part of it. So, Theo, can you explain how you felt when you first saw, I assume you've seen the George Floyd video? So as a person of color in America, and especially in a very white state, how do you feel when you watch that?
I was furious and exhausted. And the reason why I was exhausted was, you know, it was only moments before I saw the altercation between Chris Cooper and the Rambles in Central Park, right, where we saw this woman trying to weaponize the police against a black man who was, I was saying, nerding while black, right?
Bird watching. He's a bird watcher.
He was a bird watcher, right? And the possibility that man could have been in an altercation because this woman played a playbook that was 100 years old really infuriated me. And then it pivots to a story about watching George Floyd. I mean, I couldn't even see the video. Like, the thought of you know, seeing the pictures was so enormously upsetting and exhausting, because we continue to hear these stories over and over and over again. And the fact that you know, there is very little action that's being done, right? That we continue for police officers to hide behind this sort of blue wall of silence until now.
Right.
It's frustrating because we're not getting anywhere with these conversations. And before you go, I just want to say one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to dispel the myth that because you are white, that this is not something you should be talking about. I think it's something you should be talking about a lot, all the time. It's the way in which you should be talking about it that matters. We can talk more about that. But I think part of the problem is the not talking about it, because I think it treats the kinds of issues that African American people of color, you know, go as their problem, right? Where racism is a problem that we all are implicated in. So we all should be trying to have these conversations, and we all should be listening, and we all should be asking questions. That's really important to underscore.
So, and you've lived, we were talking off the air for a second with Theo, and Theo's lived in Chicago, in D.C. You grew up in California, right?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Los Angeles.
And now Maine. So all these, you know, all these different places. Have you ever? And you're a pretty well behaved man. I mean, he's a college professor. You know what I mean? But have you even encountered police or encountered someone who accused you of something that probably had more to do with your race than anything that you actually did?
I have never been. You know, God willing, has had any altercations with the police. You know, that said, I feel that, you know, that notion of being, you know, the quote unquote well-behaved black man is part of a strategy, right, to sort of make myself comfortable around people in white spaces. You know, so, you know, I think people become very surprised. I always joke that, like, you know, I have experience coming, walking down the street at night, and if there's a person that's approaching me, they'll cross the street. And all of a sudden, right, I can use my, you know, I'm a gay man as well, like my, you know, campy gay identity as a way to disarm people. I use my humor and sassiness as a way to disarm people. I use my, you know, my capital S professor to sort of surprise and disarm people. I have not been, you know, fortunate. I've been fortunate enough to do that. But I, you know, what that means is it comes at the expense of being able to express anger and frustration in a way that I would like to express anger and frustration about incidents like these.
But you feel that you can't because of your race?
Well, I feel that I can't because I have to, you know, often sort of push back and find, you know, I have to work to dispel people's perceptions about Black people, okay,
which almost overcompensate
the prejudices about Black people, right? I'm especially in Maine, right? I'm usually the only, in many cases, one of the few, if not only, Black people in a circle of, you know, people in places in Portland, even though we see this greater proportion of Blacks in places like Portland. And so there is an enormous pressure, right, to be able to present myself in a way that will not make people immediately draw to the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different, again, that's a different kind of conversation.
How do you feel, we're talking to Theo, who's a professor at Bowdoin. How do you feel when people say all lives matter? Because it's almost like some people are saying that, but they're trying to mean it in a good way.
I don't think they understand the meaning of it.
So how do you feel when you hear that?
I would say exactly what Kelly said. I think you misunderstand what Black Lives Matter actually means. It doesn't mean that Black Lives Matter at the exclusion of every other group, but it means that once we realize that Black lives matter, then all lives can matter, right?
Yeah.
That all lives should matter, and the situation that exists in social world today is the fact that even though we have laws that say that we're equal, the way in which that they are dispensed in society is not. And so we see enormous inequities where African Americans, right, still encounter that legacy of racism that is endemic, right, to that is deep within, like, the fabric of our society, of what makes us American. And once we're able to realize that black lives, Black futures have meaning and value, right, then we all can realize we all have that sense of value. So, again, it becomes this, you know, I always think about it as this erasure, right, when you say all lives matter. It's a disregarding of Black trauma, Black pain, right, that and efforts of African-Americans and other groups, right, to speak up about the injustice they're encountering, right? You know, Black Lives Matter is a very intersectional, cross, you know, interracial, intergenerational group. It's a very broad movement.
Yeah. How, as white people, and I'm asking on behalf of a very, very white state, how can we be better?
I think, you know, it goes back to the beginning of our conversation where the first thing is being willing to have these conversations. Race and racism is a difficult conversation for us to have. And a lot of people feel that, you know, you don't want to talk about it because, you know, it can be very uncivil. People are very insensitive. But I think it's the failure to have these conversations, these difficult conversations that lead us to, to the kinds of misunderstandings that can produce moments like we saw in the Rambles. I mean, the thing that surprised me was that, you know, Amy Cooper, I think, or you know, Miss Cooper was identified as a liberal, right? She was not.
Right. This is the Central Park woman.
Yeah. Central Park woman. She's not thinking of herself as racist at all. And yet she came on this playbook, right? So I think it is being able to be willing to have these conversations, being willing to listen, right, when people of color are sharing their experiences, because a lot of times, you know, someone says that they encounter something and their experience leads them to think that this is a racial moment. It's very easy to dismiss it as that's not racist. They don't mean it that way, right? Again, you know, part of what makes these moments, I think, racial or racist is the fact that, you know, a lot of people have experienced this. It is a part of that blood, and we have to understand what makes those moments for a person of color, racial and racist for them. And then the third thing, I think, is being able to, you know, I think, you know, leveraging white privilege in ways when you go into circles of people where people are saying things that you know are wrong, being able to speak up in those particular moments, right? You know, we had a conversation yesterday about the value of being able to speak up without co-opting the voices of people of color.
Right.
We still need allies. I mean, again, eradicating racism is a shared project we all have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and one of the things, I was texting with Theo for a little while yesterday. One of the other things we talked about was acknowledging privilege, you know, and just being. And I think that was something that a lot of folks who are on the right side of this, regardless of what their race is, have gone and said, wow, here are some things that I have that others may not. And just being more aware of that, I think, makes you a better person in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what people often think about when they think about privilege, right, it's like, in some ways, people feel like they're born, you know, with an American Express card of sorts, right?
Right.
And when I teach my students about privilege is I think it's various kinds of social norms and constructs that you're able to take for granted, right, because of, by virtue of race or gender or ability, right? So, you know, you can be, for example, able to take for granted about the fact that you can walk up and down the streets and people may not think of you as criminal. You can go into a store, right, and people may ask you what you want without following you around the store.
Mm.
Those may not be the kinds of things that I have as an African American, even though, right, you know, as I said, I present myself a certain kind of way. You know, the notion of privilege, right, I think is being able to take for granted, the privilege in itself is taking for granted, right, things that people in marginal positions have to confront and experience every day.
Well, like what you just said, I think a privilege that I have, just based on what you just said, is that I've never even thought about someone following me around a store.
Never.
I never even thought about
exactly.
that.
No.
Exactly.
And that's a privilege.
Exactly.
Right.
That's a privilege.
I just got a message from a friend who said it's a great explanation of the All Lives Matter thing. And it says, it's someone who tweeted it. It says, saying all lives matter as a response to Black Lives Matter is like saying the fire department should spray down all houses in a neighborhood, even though only one house is on fire, because all houses matter. Yes, your house matters too, but your house is not on fire.
Hmm.
Yep.
I thought that's pretty good.
Great
yeah.
way. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, Theo, let's end on this note. What amidst all this unrest and the horrible things that we're seeing, and even within the protests, more examples of horrible, horrible things happening. What gives you hope today?
What gives me hope is I think we are seeing this sort of, I mean, despite some of these provocateurs that are looting, right, and we now see the stories of a lot of white provocateurs going out there starting the violence. And again, you know, the victims becoming people of color who are trying to do peaceful protests.
Right.
But I'm very emboldened by, A, conversations like this, and B, you know, that I think people are beginning to wake up and realize, again, the brutality. I mean, we're seeing police for the first time, again, breaking that blue wall of silence and coming out and saying that what happened to George Floyd, right, is something that should not happen.
Right.
And we have to continue to push our institutions to be better. And I think that's what gives me hope. But, you know, the fact that this is happening faster and faster, the fact that we're living in a society where, again, we're seeing these receipts. It shouldn't have to take, you know, us videotaping police for this to happen, but it is.
Right.
You know, and again, we're calling out this as racism. We're calling this out as violence. I mean, that's what gives me hope. And I think, you know, hopefully we will be able to reach that moment where we are holding our officials and our politicians more accountable for their inaction when human beings' lives are being disregarded.
All right, Theo. Well, thanks for I know this is a little bit earlier than you normally like to get up.
On vacation. but I really appreciate being on. Thank you.
Thank you, for your perspective. And I look forward to when we can have these conversations while you're holding court with your mug at a bar stool at Blackstone's at some point.
Oh, that sounds fun.
All right, bud. You have a good morning. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. You think. Take care.
Bye-bye.